Justin Wagner. Justin Wagner.
This Dan made that up. Same one.
Yeah, you don't see faces with the name.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
You sat there last week, it is there.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's time for us to begin. I want to remind everybody that we have several that are out on vacation and traveling, the Poles and the Millers and Doug. So we have several people gone this morning, and keep them in our prayers as we go through the service today as they can get to their destination and come back. I have texted Jamie at least one time, and they're doing okay. So they're going clear out west, so that's a big, long trip. Our first song selection this morning is 824, I'll Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, prison bars and flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, Lord. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then all pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you now as your humble servants. We know, Father, that you sent your Son here to be an example to us. As an example, we're going to have classes this morning to make us better, and hopefully that we can learn from what we are being taught today to make us grow in the Spirit and in truth. We know, Father, that we have a lot to learn and to put into action of our free will, that we can be more like him each and every day as we grow. This morning, we also want to remember all the ones that are traveling and are on the road and getting to their destination and coming back from later. We pray that you will continue to help them and guide them and make sure they return to us safely. We also would like for you to ask, as we go through our classes, that we can go into it such a way that we have the privilege to learn more, to be more for you. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may pass to your classes. Now, as our class begins here, I want to remind everybody this morning that James Miller's not here, Doug's not here, David's not up here this morning, Jamie's not up here this morning. Now I'm going to rely on everybody else to speak up today so that we can glean more out of our lesson. Now when I say that, I'm not going to pick on anybody until nobody starts talking, then watch out, Don. I just got a smile on it. My point is that for this to be successful in the class this morning, we do need to have to participate as much as possible so that you may have questions, and I hope that you do, because I know I don't go over it thoroughly enough sometimes to bring everything and glean everything out of the lesson that we need to know. Now, in that turn, I will tell you this. There's not going to be a lot on this morning's lesson that we can just discuss as far as I know, but I guarantee you there is something that we can discuss. So let's please participate this morning. We left off last week in chapter 21 of Acts, and we read a couple, three verses. We're going to go over them again here. We're going to start in verse 17. And as we go through this few verses, I know that we read, we will be able to talk more about it this morning and see if we can glean more out of what we read from last week. Now, as you know, Acts has been, I don't want to use the word challenging, but it has a lot of information in very few verses. And some of these this morning, that's the reason I said that, is because it's kind of going to go over some that Paul's already done, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But, you know, there's always good things to bring up that we can talk about. So let's start in verse 17, and we'll read down to at least 19, okay? I'll just start in verse 15. And after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple, from whom we were to lodge. 17. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the following day, Paul went with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. You know, it doesn't usually tell us that, like in verse 15, we'll just start in verse 15, but instead of 17. It says, after those days we had packed. It doesn't generally tell us they packed and went about their way. Why do you think that's kind of important that they was telling us they were packed? It's trivial, but let's talk about that for a minute. It says here they packed. Well, for one thing, it shows us that they were ready to go on to their next destination. And like I said, it really doesn't tell us much about packing and things like this in any chapters before. It just tells us where they go next. And I thought, that's kind of interesting that it says they packed. Do you remember what they packed? Just think about it for a second. What have we been talking about for the last several weeks? What was Paul? Paul was a tent maker, so I'm sure he packed his essential needs to actually make tents in the next place. And I'm sure that the rest of them did too. We just don't want to gloss over some of this that, you know, because it doesn't really tell us a lot of what they packed or anything like that. This is just something I thought maybe we might want to think about. In verse 16, it talks about Nason of Cyprus and an early disciple. Why is that important? Correct, which would tell us that, now remember, they're going back into some of the same areas that they had went before. So this possibly could have been one of the individuals that he had taught early on, maybe even before he started his journey. I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying, since they had mentioned that, he wasn't no newbie, we'll put it that way, somebody that has just started evangelizing and being a disciple and taking care of the church. As you can see here, this is just more of the same that we've read about before, where they lodged. So they lodged with this individual. So they learned early, this is important, guys, they learned early in their Christianity to take care of one another. So remember, as Paul went from town to town to town, he stayed with individuals. So he stayed with this fella. And remember, it says that he was, let me read that again, that he was an early disciple. And so therefore, he had learned early to take care of one another. And, you know, we talked a lot over the last several weeks about Paul going here and there at different places. And as we did, he had to lodge somewhere as he went. Now, every town probably didn't put him up because remember, he was a tent maker. He probably, on one of the things he packed, was a tent. But some of these places that he went, these people had homes. And therefore, he was staying with him at his house. Now, we don't know how big a tent he was. We don't know how much he actually made tents when he went each and every place, but it was enough to support him, himself. Remember, a lot of these people were nomads, which means wherever they pitched their tents is where their house was. Now, we don't know for sure if this was a house or if this was a tent, but it does say here that he lodged with him. So I really wanted to believe that maybe that was a structure of some kind because of the simple fact that they were a lot of nomads, and that's what the tents were for. Once again, in verse 17, it talks about that the individuals received him gladly. So when we meet individuals, that we need to be as courteous as possible. Here it's stating here is that these are the brethren, but so that means also that especially to the ones of faith, especially the ones of the house of the Lord, which we have here. Now, we always want to put our best foot forward in the first place, whether we're here or out in the world. People will see whether or not you're a Christian by the way you act. Now, I said that to tell you this. We always want to pursue going forward all the time and to improve as much as possible our ability to talk to people and put that best foot forward. We have a lot of information in Acts that we've already went over about talking about this, so we won't go over that much more. In verse 19, when he had greeted them, he told them detail of the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Why is that important? Think about that for a second. Why is that important? Remember, they're talking about his ministry. What's his ministry? He's going out and evangelizing. So why is that important? Don?
I look back on those times knowing they had no technology. They had no television. They had no social media. They had nothing. If Paul didn't update them, or if there wasn't a way to communicate to everybody, those were the opportunities that we could take. So maybe, you know, it needed to be done just to keep the word fresh in everybody's mind and know what's been done from place to place, et cetera. I don't know.
And that's true. That's true. The thing I wanted us to focus on is that as he did all those things, Don, as you talked about, he was giving glory to God, not himself. Think about that for just a second. When you go around saying, look what I've done, I've done, I've done, I've done. Look what I did. Look at me. Are you giving the glory to God that is necessary? Because he's the one that's made us. He's also not only the one that's made us, he's the one that keeps us in line by through his scriptures. He wants us to be with him in heaven. He wants us to grow. And we tend to forget that, hey, what did I do last week? What did God allow me to do last week? You see what I'm getting at? God is in our presence all the time. We just don't always realize that when we physically do something ourselves. God has given us a lot of gifts, each of us. They're not all the same, are they? They are necessary for his purpose, which is back in our chapter 28 of Matthew, and the last three or four verses, it tells us to go out and teach the whole world. That's paraphrased, but it tells us to go out. Does it tell everybody to go out? Yes, but if we have special talents, those people need to help others. And not only that, all of us don't have the same talent as we talked about, but the ones that cannot speak to individuals, maybe they can drive us there or something. So they're participating. Just like poor old Pearl there. She's the Christian that wants to learn everything and she's here. But she can't read the Bible anymore. But she can quote a lot of it. Because her physical ability won't let her. That is inspiring to all of us. Think about that for a second. That is inspiring to us to let us know, just like Charles cannot see real well anymore, enough to read this print anyway, okay? And I'm, even with my glasses, sometimes I have to stop and look at it a little bit more. And it's not that my glasses are getting worse. It's just that we're getting a little bit older. And, yeah, I could use a little bit larger print. But guess what? This is what I have to use, so we're going to use it. And Charles and Pearl and everybody that's like them that are having difficulty, don't give up. they're still here. Think about that for a minute. How many people give up quickly, Pearl?
I can't bring the words out even with the magnifying glasses. I don't care how strong they are. I have to get them in a certain position so I can read some words, but not very many. Not very many. And it's terrible. Every time you go to the doctor, well, they're not doing any good. They're not getting any worse. Well, it's because of your age. I said, I guess you know I ain't getting no younger. It's due to your age.
Pearl, that's true. You're not getting any younger.
For God to give you strength so you can see.
But you still have the strength. This is what I'm going to ask everybody. You and Charles still have the strength to come and listen and try to do better.
Yes.
Think about that a minute. And then what they're doing right here is he's giving God the glory. Just like you guys are. You're here because you're giving God the glory because of where you're at your stage of life. You can't read to somebody, but you're still here because you're still on water. That's giving God a lot of glory because of the simple fact. Now, you know, saying that is that, what about us that need to learn something new? Okay? We've talked about this many times in Acts, but we want to learn something new, but we're scared to. I've talked to you guys many times about me giving lessons or even song leading. By the way, I still attempt that. What would I just say? Attempt. I've heard a lot better ones. I've heard a lot of them that are not as good. Now, I never said I was good. Now, I never said that, see. My point is that sometimes the growth is stepping out of your actual comfort zone. Therefore, you're giving God the glory because you are trying to do what you've been asked to do. And that's what Paul has done here. He has given God the glory of all the things that he's done. He hasn't forgot. He hasn't forgot about God. Remember I quoted or paraphrased Matthew chapter 28 in the last three or four verses? I've got in my notes here, it says here, but it was natural to conclude that they were obedient to the Lord's command. That's in my notes here. Into all the world. Now, I'm not telling everybody here to go to Asia Minor or Germany or anywhere else. But what does worldly going to the world mean? We have missionaries that go over there. That's their part. And we support that. Our world is right here around us in Harrisburg and Curry Mills and El Dorado and just right here. That's our world. So it says go into the world. Is that not where we're supposed to be going and helping and talking to individuals? We have a responsibility too. I'm not asking anybody here to go on a missionary journey of 30 years or 8 years or anything like that, like Paul has done. I was reading somewhere that he went, now I want us to think about this. During his missionary journeys, he traveled some 3,500 miles. 3,500 miles. That's a great distance even for us here. I should have looked it up. I don't know from the East Coast to the West Coast how far it is. I think it's around 4,500 miles, but I don't know that for sure. I don't remember. My point is that he walked a lot of this. So therefore, he put an effort out for a lot of this. This is why he took advantage of going on ships from here to here to here. Some of the places he went, he had to go on a ship, or it would have been thousands of miles out of the way. And some of the places he went, he would never got there without the ship. So how come we're, I don't, this is really talk, rhetorical, I don't want anybody to answer. So why are we scared to talk to our neighbors? They're next door. The people down the street, they're down the street. They're not very far away. See, I'm not asking you to go overseas or to California or to New York or Maine or any place like that. We have a field right here that is ready. The reason I mention this also is because I want us to continue to grow in our evangelism program, which does not necessarily exclude your neighbors. Then you go on to the next person.
You planted the seed, Carl. That's all you can do. You have to plant it. Once you plant that seed, I told this before. I in early stages of working and learning this, I had an individual on top of me, and they just was amazed about a couple things I'd show them in the refrigeration. They were amazed. He went in the military, got out of the military, or while he was in there, that's what he studied. And I saw about 15, 20 years later, after he had left, working for us and was in the military, I said, "What are you doing now?" He goes, "I'll never forget the things that you showed me." I said, "That's why I do today." So that seed was planted for another reason, because I wanted this gentleman to succeed. And to succeed is you got to plant that seed. So this is hard for me to learn too, Pearl, is that when we talk to individuals that does not want to listen to about Christ, it's hard to say, "No, come on, you need to be a Christian." We know that. They know that.
They know when they die, that's all of it. There's nothing else to
do. Well, some of you don't believe that yet, but so once we plant that seed, we've opened a door that maybe we can talk about something else the next time. Now, I'm not saying that today.
Some have had respect for you, but others don't.
This is true. And it's true that broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Very few that find it, correct? What's that narrow gate?
That will stop you. Praying for
them,
you
got to
pray for
them
either.
But what's that
now?
Still,
you still got to pray for them.
That's
your duty.
I know, but see, broad is the way. That means there's many, many people think they're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
But narrow is the gate, which means this is what we have to go by right here. We have to study. We have to learn. And when we make a mistake and we find out through the scriptures that we've made a mistake, that's where we have to change. You remember Ed talking to us about walking that fine line between the narrow and the wide, and there's a line that he used to talk about, and he said, people want to walk that line. So if you step over here, you're in the narrow way. Step over here, you're in the broad way. And they take that chance. And that's what those people that you're talking about are doing. All we can do is love them and try to communicate with them periodically. You're not going to change everybody. It's not going to happen. But the ones in here, what we're talking about this morning, need to change as necessary. And what I mean by that, still, back on the other, God has given us the glory. And we need to, or God has given us the opportunity, and we need to make sure we give him the glory.
we have opportunities that we miss. We've talked about that many, many times over the years. We have opportunities that we miss. So when we miss those opportunities, why did we miss them? I want us to think about that for a second. Why did we miss those opportunities? And I'm talking about reaching somebody. I believe sometimes we put ourselves, which is selfish, first. Because we didn't give God the glory. We didn't give God the opportunity to step into our life to say something to that individual. And if you remember right a few weeks ago, I said something about you go into this grocery store, you go here, you go there. We have a lot of opportunity to talk to people sometimes. And we miss it. And that's part of our duty. Let me refresh our memories. I'm going to read that in Matthew. It's Matthew 28, and I'm going to go ahead and read, starting at verse 16. It's called the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Pearl, some doubted, okay? 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, I said they doubted, right? He's explaining to them that the authority has been given to him. Now, it's been given to him. Now he's going to give us a commandment. In verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is important too. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them. And I just spoke a moment ago about how we can teach without actually teaching by people observing us, how we act, how we talk to them. That's teaching also. We have, that's why I say we have opportunities that we surely miss. And that's a command for all of us. It didn't say just a few of us, did it? Who are disciples? The Christians. The Christians here. So he's talking to all of us that are disciples. Verse 20, back in Acts chapter 21. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and they said to him, you see, brother, how many martyrs of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous of the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who were among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children nor to walk according to the customs. We've talked about customs. We've talked about circumcision as we have went through Acts. We have talked about the Jews that are becoming Christians. When it's talking about the martyrs, it's talking about, I believe it was talking about the Jews that had, because it says here in verse 20, how many martyrs of the Jews there are who have believed? They became Christians. So when he's talking about being zealous of the law, what law are they talking about, guys? In And why would they want to be zealous about it? What law are we talking about? Remember what it told us here? The law was the old law, the Mosaical law, the one that Moses had to live under. So they was really wanting to be still under that law. Now, I have a question, another question. When the Christians, when Christ came to teach about Christianity, because it was for everybody, that's why they were zealous. We have a law. The Jews were special. Now it's given to everybody? Why is that important? Everybody has a chance to go to heaven that way. The Mosaic law did not give that chance to everybody. That's why they were zealous. That's why they wanted to keep it. Keep it just for us. Do we do that? We do the same thing when we don't teach, when we go out into the world. Oh, let's keep it for me. That person's not worthy. That ain't our decision to make. That person's not worthy. That's not our decision to make. The person didn't listen. That's not our decision to make. Our decision is to go and do. And in verse 21, they're talking about the Gentiles forsaking Moses. Okay? That still falls back under the old law that they're talking about here, because the circumcision was a custom that they wanted to keep. They wanted to keep it. They couldn't let go. We have to let go of those fears that we have. We have to let go of the individual things that keep us from spreading the gospel. Let's go on with verse 22. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads and that they all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. See, they're trying to talk them into Now, we remember that Paul shaved his head too. And he had, I believe, Timothy circumcised. Here's where I'm going with that. That was customs of the Jews. He only did that so they would recognize him and listen to him. He didn't do it because it was the custom. He done it because it was the custom of the Jews. He could go into the synagogues and preach and teach. I'm not telling us to change, do this or do this or do this, just so we get to talk to somebody. But that's what Paul had to do in that period of time. It says here in the commentary, it said, it is true, of course, that Paul himself, as a Jew, kept many of the customs of the Jews, even shaving his head. But, if you remember, back in Acts chapter 18, verse 18, when we went through that, he done so because of some kind of vow. that he had made. It never tells us what that vow was. Just like, remember everybody that about his thorn in the side that Paul had? It never, ever truly tells us what that thorn in the side was. To my knowledge, there's nowhere in the scriptures that tells us that. It reminds us of it, which is a reminder to us on many things that we need to do because of what Paul has done. Now, in the commentary, it also states that he never regarded any such things as being related to any manner of whatsoever to salvation in the name of Christ. Without a doubt, Paul's observance of such things made his entry into the synagogues possible. Where did he do most of his teaching? Or a lot of his teaching, maybe I ought to put it that way. In the synagogue. He was trying to convert the Jews to Christianity. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain Jews. Now, remember what it says. To the Jews I became as a Jew. He didn't say he became a Jew. So he would do certain things to help people listen. What did we talk about earlier? About planting a seed. That gives you an opportunity later to talk about it again. It gives you a lot of time to think and pay attention to what's going on in their life so that you can mention it, maybe a verse or something, and help them through some struggle that they may be going through later. You've already planted a seed, Pearl, remember? You planted that seed. And then when I'm struggling and I'm not listening to you at that time, you can remind me about what it says, something that has to do with what I'm going through. And it will become the wisdom that they might accept. Maybe not the first time or second time or even the third time. But we still have to give them that opportunity. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Verse 25. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Now, we talked a lot about all that stuff back in the earlier chapters that's in there, because we talked about that. I can't remember where it's exactly at, but I think it's before we ever got to chapter 10 that we talked about all of those things. All he's doing is reminding them what they should do to keep in the faith, to keep continue going forward. Now, isn't that what we do sometimes here on our classes? Is to help us keep our faith and keep going forward by learning something new. Put it into practice. Put it forward. Putting that one step of yours forward so that when you go out today, that you are better off than before you came in. And you can make people's lives around you much, much better. We have a lot of responsibility. We need to take that responsibility and go into the world and help. Okay. In verse 26, we're not going to get through all of that, but it's going to be a period of time that we won't have today, but about, so that title there is Arrested in the Temple. Paul's arrested. And there's several things I want to go over as we go over this. But we'll start out with just the first verse here. Our time's about up. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce expression of the days of the purification, of at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Verse 27. Now when 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him. I want to stop there. Does anybody remember who the Jews of Asia were? We talked about that about a month or so ago. Does anybody remember who the Jews of Asia were? Those were the Jews that was following him from town to town, causing trouble. Remember that? They were causing trouble because they didn't want nobody to learn about Christianity. This is not the first time these individuals have tried to get Paul thrown into prison. Remember the last time we talked about them, they were doing the exact same thing. And what happened? He got them all to be quiet, to listen. But it wasn't until after the Roman officers came, right? And it was a big mob, and he got them to be quiet. We have to give that portion back to God. He's the one that did that. There was too many people. I don't remember how many it said there was at that time, even if it did. But it was a very large crowd. It was a few thousand people, if I remember right. And think about that. Can you quiet down 10,000 people or 5,000 or even 1,000? Can you get them to be quiet? You couldn't scream over them. Did they have loudspeakers back then? No. That's why Christ talked from the boat that one time, because the ocean, the water, I should say, echoed so everybody on the land could hear. You ever been out of a boat and then talked? You can hear the people out, like when we was at the lake, you could hear people out in the boats talking more clearly than you could hear the person standing right over here, because of the projection it did for the water. Now, once again, these individuals, it says there in verse 20, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on them. Once again, they're trying to put down and destroy what Paul is trying to do. Remember, Paul, you said something about they don't listen. These people aren't listening. Did it discourage Paul? No. He has been told, if you remember the last couple of weeks, we talked about that he keeps wanting to go to Jerusalem, and the Spirit told him not to go, and a couple other people told him not to go. Now he's here. What's going on? Again, they've laid hands on him. We'll find out next week. Actually, Wednesday night, we'll go on further in the study that they wanted to throw him into prison. I'll leave you with that. I said wanted, so we'll find out what goes on. Thank you for your kind attention.